You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Psalms 27. We're going to see what happens. We're going to just go there and... I get so tickled at the Spirit of God. I've got something I've studied for 2 weeks now. I've been studying. I've got 4 pages of stuff I've just typed up. Now, I don't use notes. But sometimes when I study, I'll type up notes. And sometimes after I preach a message, I'll type up notes just so I can remember it. But they just hang me up when I'm preaching. Everybody's different, and that's fine. I know some people use them exclusively, and I think that's wonderful. I'm just not I'm more, you know, shoot from the hip. You know, I just, but I do a lot of studying. But I get tickled. I get tickled at how God moves because I got this message. I've been wanting to preach this for 2 weeks, and I just can't preach it. I'm still not going to get to preach it today. I got the most wonderful notes. I got all the greatest points and stories, and I'm thinking, man, that is so good. The illustrations, I've even read them to some of the kids, you know, and, oh, and it's great. But I'm not going to get to preach that. So, Psalms 27, amen? I knew this last night. Last night, actually, I knew I was going to minister on this instead of all that other. But I go through a message, and if it's just not there, if it's just not, I don't know how to explain that. It's a good message. There's nothing wrong with it. Tommy, you know what I'm talking about. But I don't have an unction. I don't have an anointing on it, you know. And I think you probably need the anointing more than you do my good message. Hallelujah. This is a real familiar scripture. You'll know these scriptures. In fact, I've taught on this before. I'd like to get further down in than I probably will get today because I know how things go in this church. But the first verse, Psalms 27, says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Amen. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" In other words, He's the one that I look to. He's the one that delivers me. He's the one that lightens my path and lightens my way. You know, Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet." I like that. Because you can let someone shine on your path and shine their wisdom on your path or shine, you know, their information on you, and you could walk in the light of what someone else said, or you can walk in the light of God's word. And David said, the psalmist said, he says, "Thy word is a light to my path." I'm going to walk in the light that you reveal. I'm going to walk in the wisdom that you give me. And when he's saying here, "The Lord is my light," think of it that way. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my wisdom. He is my revelation. He is my inspiration. He is my insight. I'm going to walk in what He's showing me, what He's revealing to me, what He's shining in my life. I'm not going to walk in what someone else is shining and showing. I'm going to walk in what Jesus is showing me, what the Lord is showing me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He delivers me. I look to Him for wisdom. I look to Him for insight. And I look to Him for salvation. I look to Him for deliverance. He's the one that always provides me the bailout package. Don't get on that subject. But anyway, He always bails me out. Amen? He always does. And I can always run to Him. I can always call on Him. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is, whom shall I fear? We don't fear anybody. What are you talking about? We don't have to be afraid because we know we're going to be okay. We know that God's going to get us through this. We know that God is going to help us. We may seem to be alone, but we haven't been alone a day in our life since we got saved. He's never forsaken us. He's never left us. He's with us to the ends of the earth. Amen? And He's there to deliver us, to help us.
That's right.
He's not just there to go through the mess with us. He's there to help us get out of the mess.
That's right.
So hang in there and believe God and trust God. Amen? Don't be afraid. Don't fear. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Sometimes you're tapped. Lots of times I'm tapped. A lot of times I'm just a shell of a man when the end of the day comes. A lot of times things come fast and furious, and I think I can't handle another phone call. I can't handle another situation. I'm just shaking. You know, I'm just eggshell. Just touch me and I'll break all. I feel that way sometimes. Now, I know you never get that way. But sometimes it's just overwhelming. I mean, it's just too much going on. There's too many situations going on. But you know what? God can handle it. Maybe I can't to myself, but I'm not by myself. Maybe I can't with my own strength the way I'm feeling right now, but all I got to do is call. He's just a phone call away.
Amen.
He's just waiting for me to call. And if I call upon the name of the Lord, The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Shall be delivered, shall be helped. So I don't have to be afraid because, see, the Lord is my strength. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so really, I understand what Paul said, when I'm weak, He's strong. I love that. I'm really stronger in my weakness because then I'd have to depend on God. That makes sense? I like being out there on a limb in one sense. I like being out there where I have to trust God. Because He can show up then, see? And He always does a better job than I do. I'd rather Him show up than me show up. I've seen what I can do, and I really don't want an encore. But I would like to have a repeat of God in my life and what He does. You know, so the way you do that, of course, is when you want someone to come back on stage again, you just keep clapping. Are you out there?
Yeah.
You keep praising them. You just keep thanking them. You know what? They'll come back out.
Yeah.
They'll come back out. And God will just keep coming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He inhabits the praises of His people. So the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, obviously no one. I mean, that's rhetorical. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nobody. Don't be afraid. Don't live your life in fear. Don't live in fear of people. Don't live in fear of relationships. Don't live in fear of business, economy, all those kinds of things. You know, maybe you had a bad situation in your life, but don't let that determine your destiny and your future. Maybe you failed in life. Join the club. Hey, you're looking at a bunch of people in here that have failed. Failure is just a step on the road to success. I mean, you don't succeed without a lot of failures. I mean, someone that succeeded, he must have had a lot of failures. That's the way I look at it. Somebody that really made it must have tried lots of times. Because you've got to try a lot, you've got to fail a lot before you get there. But don't let fear set in. See, don't let fear come in. You know, people are afraid of relationships because they had a bad one. Or get to where they don't trust people because people have let them down. Hello. You know, don't let fear get in. Don't let fear get in life. Life's full of tragedy. It's full of hard edges, rough edges. You know, but you don't quit on life. We believe God. We trust God. There are some good people out there. Hallelujah. You can make it. Somebody's making it. Why not you?
That's right.
Somebody's going to go over. Why not you? Why not let God bless you? Amen? Why not let you be the one? Well, the statistics are, I don't know about statistics, but if anybody ever made it, I can make it. Because the Lord's my strength. Amen? I'm not going to live my life in fear and just cringe every night and get in the fetal position before I go to bed and, you know, live in fear of tomorrow and, you know, what's going to happen with my family and the finances and the church and the country. And, oh, are you kidding? You know, God's bigger than all that. He's huge. He's on the huge side of big.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the Lord is my strength, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Second verse, when the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and they fell. Yeah, but you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what they're saying. You don't know who's against me. I know in life sometimes people are against you. That's a fact of life. I know in life some people are talking bad about you. In fact, really, that's okay. Jesus said, woe be unto you when all men speak well of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just a thought. I don't think everybody ought to hate you. You ought to have some friends. But you're not going to live your life where everybody's going to love you. Did you know everybody doesn't love me? Yeah, really, it's weird, isn't it? That's just weird. I don't get it. But anyway, not everybody likes my preaching either. Go figure, man. I don't get it, but you know what? I'm not everybody's cup of tea. That's okay. And, you know, everybody's not my cup of tea. That's all right. That's okay. If somebody else will minister to them, let somebody else minister to them. Everybody doesn't minister to me. But I'm not responsible for all that. You know, and I don't get along with everybody. I try. I'm not out to make enemies, and I'm not proud that I don't get along with somebody. But some people I get along better than others. Yeah. Are you out there? I'm just trying to help you. Y'all don't paint this bleak picture of your pastor, you know. Pastor, he didn't get along with a whole lot of people, you know. As I'm speaking, just look in the mirror. You know, I'm just talking about all of us. We're all in this thing. And, you know, we need to work on some of those areas. But, you know, some of those areas are just the way they are. There's nothing really you can do about that. I mean, there's people that are not going to like you. There's people that are going to be against you. If you make a stand on something, there's going to be people that don't believe what you made a stand on, and they're going to oppose you. And if you're going to try to live your life pleasing everybody, hey, you better buckle up. You're in for a roller coaster ride. You are never going to be happy. You ought to seek to please God. Amen. Put Him first in your life. And do the best you can to help people, encourage people, love people. And if people disagree with you, pray for them. Amen. Pray for them. So he says this, when the wicked come, and there are wicked people out there. See, this is sometimes hard for people to get across in their thinking. Some people think that if you just talk to people long enough, they'll always do right. No, they won't. I'm sorry. They just won't. There are people that are just wicked. There's people that are just evil. And all the counsel in the world is not going to change them. Some people, you just need to shoot them. Now, I'm talking about... Boy, don't twist this one. No, you need to separate yourself from some people. It's just not going to work out. I'm talking about relationships, people. You know, you can't have just hate going on. I know as far as countries are concerned, nations are concerned, there's just wars. And some, we have to have war. As long as we're in this earth, till Jesus comes, there's going to be war. Because we have to stand up for what's right. If we don't defend our freedoms and stand up for what's right, then every dictator and every terrorist in the world will come take us over and our country over. And so I do believe that there are times that you have to defend yourself and defend your family, defend your country. And I believe that's the Christian thing to do. Are you with me? I don't believe that you can always talk your way out of every situation, that you can change everybody with your talking. Some people just don't change. Are y'all with me?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I mean, and so pray for them, but sometimes you have to separate. Sometimes you have to back off. There's relationships, people I don't hang around with. I get mad when I get around them. Yeah. Now, I need to pray because I don't need to be getting mad, but you know what? I don't need to push myself in that situation.
Amen.
I need to pray for them, pray for me. But I know one thing, if I will pray and seek God's face, He will deliver me and I will be okay. Quit being so insecure. You're going to be okay. People are talking about you doing things, but God's going to bless you. If you don't quit and you don't, you know, stop believing, you're going to be all right. Mm-hmm. See, you take everything too personally. I know I do a lot of times. I just take it too personally. I get in disagreement with someone and I think they're attacking me and not what we're disagreeing on. You ever had that happen?
Yes.
Somebody misquotes you or misstate what you said or disagree what you said, then you all of a sudden it's an attack on you. Mm-hmm. It's not always the case.
Amen.
Could be, but it's not always the case. And if it is, well, it doesn't matter. They'll stumble and they'll fall. If you're right, if your heart's right. Third verse, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Oh, man, I love this. This is so good. You know you can relate to this. Come on, you know your life is not just 100% every day, 24 hours a day, just, I mean, you're in a Disney film singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Mr. Bluebird's on your shoulder whistling. You know it's not that. It's not like that. I mean, we have our moments, thank God, but there's conflict in life, and there's opposition in life. Maybe on the job, maybe in families. I don't know what the case may be. But here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to get in fear. We don't want to give up, quit believing God, quit trusting God. Man, pray about the thing. Pray about that situation. Don't give up on it. Don't throw your arms up. Pray. See, the psalmist understood conflict. Goodness gracious. But he also understood that God was on his side. Amen. And he says in his third verse, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord. Wow. Here's priority now. Here's getting your priorities. Focus. Let's focus here. See, we're out here using the shotgun approach, hoping that one of these pellets is going to hit something. And we ought to find our target and get a rifle and aim for it and focus our attention. I mean, if you're bird hunting, you got to use a shotgun. I mean, you don't go goose hunting with a boat and an arrow. I just thought about goose hunting. I'm going to goose hunting here the next few days. But anyway, you don't use a rifle either. Unless you're a whole lot better shot than I am. Goodness gracious. Use a shotgun. Because they're way up there and they're hard to hit. Are you with me? And so, you know, in life, We ought to narrow our focus a little bit here. I think sometimes we're just scatter shooting out there. We don't know what we're shooting at. We're trying to solve 100 problems. We've really got one thing we've got to deal with here. 100 issues, but really it's just one issue. It doesn't matter what's going on, the Lord's with us. Amen? It doesn't matter what's going on, the Lord's our strength. We're not going to see, we're afraid of all these little things, but really the bottom line is God's with us. He's going to save us. He's going to help us. So what we need to do, the one thing, what is the one thing? You always want to know, what's the one thing here? I get tickled people call and says, I want something I got to say. Two things. It's always two things. Why is it always two things? Why can't it just be one thing? Well, in life, really, it is one thing. I'm going to tell you what it is. This is so good. One thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Wow. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. See, he's got one thing we need to keep straight. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All the stuff you got your shotgun out there trying to hit, flying all around you, you know, boom, 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 boom. No, you just need to hit this thing right here. Right. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. It'd be a good thing to think about this year. We make a lot of resolutions, you know. We take a little examination, self-exam, and see where we are and check our progress. And we start making adjustments and say, this year I'm going to do this and do this and do this and do this and do this. And, you know, we wind up not doing any of them, but that, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But one thing we ought to always do is this. Put God first in our life. Amen? Seek His face. This year, we're going to seek His face. This one thing we're going to do this year. This one thing we desire this year. To be in the presence of God. To seek His face. To inquire of the Lord. This one thing. That's it. To dwell with Him forever. See, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live forever. I understand that. But I mean, I want to dwell with Him. I want to hear His voice. I want to serve Him. I want to come to Him. I want to run to Him. You know, we talk about prayer. You know, Tommy's doing a prayer meeting here twice a month. We do a prayer meeting once a month on Sunday nights. And that's all well and good. We need to do that. But you need to develop a prayer life in your own personal life. It doesn't mean you get up and pray an hour. That may work for some people, and some people may not work for it. But you ought to pray about things. Maybe you're driving down the road, pray. Make it a point when you go to work, pray. Pray on the way to work. Or when you get up a little bit early, you know, just take a few minutes and pray. Pray about what's going on in your life. I try to think of things that are really bugging me. I do. I pray about people that bug me. God, I pray for y'all all the time. No. I'm just trying to get your attention. No, but if I get upset about something, you know, I realize, you know what, I got to pray. I got to pray about this. Because something's wrong with me. I don't need to be getting this mad. People that rub me the wrong way, you know. You know what? It just reveals to me I got to work on some things here. You know, I've got. And so I'll pray for them that God will forgive them. And then I'll pray for me that God will forgive me. Sure. And then I'll pray that God will help me. You know, because I don't need that. And God forbid I try to handle all that without going to God about it. Because I've already made a mess of it. If I'm upset, I've already made a mess of it, okay? So I need to pray. So I need to focus in this one thing I need to do. I've got to get in God's presence. I've got to get to God with this. I've got to dwell in His house. I've got to pick up some more God in my life. I've got to rub shoulders with God and let some of that rub off on me. Amen? I've got to do this. This is the one thing I desire. This will build my confidence in all these other areas. This will help me with all the other things that are all the little fires I'm trying to put out. Hello? All the millions of things that on your list that's bothering you, you just need to go to God is what you need to do. Amen. Get that straight first. One thing I desire to the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Man, that'll change you. You start looking at God and His goodness and how great He is and how much He loves you and how He's washed you clean and how He's for you, not against you, how you are the apple of His eye. Praise God, how He loves you so much He sent His Son that the whole world could perish. If you lost the whole world, gained the whole world, lost your own soul. Your soul to God's more important than all the world. And you know, think about the depths that Jesus went to take care of you. And You're going to live forever with Him. That'll cheer you up. That'll turn you around if you're having a bad day. Maybe you had a bad day. Maybe the Cowboys didn't make it. I know it was a bad day. I was on my knees for a long time after that. But God never changed. He still loves me. Amen. He's still for me. Praise God. Fifth verse. In the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. Man, I love that. In the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. I think a living, a living Bible translation, New Living Translation. I believe it says He'll place you too high to reach. Something along those lines. Put you on a rock so high they can't get to you. I like that. He'll protect you, see. And see, you just need, you need someone to protect you. You need someone to wrap His arms around you. Well, that's Jesus. He can do that. He can do it. You may feel like that shell of a person now. You know, you just can't take another phone call, whatever. You need someone to just take over. And you know what? God will do it. He'll take over. If you put Him first. In the time of trouble, fifth verse, in the time of trouble, in the time of trouble, in the time of trouble. Trouble comes. Trouble comes to all. It comes to good people. It comes to bad people. We live in a broken, fallen world. We live in a lost world. We live in a world that has not been redeemed. It has not been changed. We live in a world that has been affected by sin. The sin of Adam, some 6,000 years ago, the devil runs around rampant as a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. Now, we're not hopeless. We got hope. Yes. We're Christians. We can believe God. But I'm saying we're in this world, and so all that is going around us. But in the time of trouble, and trouble will come, in the time of trouble, He shall hide me. Man, that's good. I love that. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, the Bible says. I will say to the Lord, He's my refuge, my strength, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver me. Surely He will deliver me. Woo. So you're going to be okay. You are going to be all right. I don't know what you're going through. I mean, we can just start taking, you know, listen to each one of you. What is it you're going through? What you're going through? What's your biggest thing right now? What's on your plate? You know, what are you carrying right now? What's this? It'd be different with every one of us. And you know what? Some of us that are not going through it would think, well, that's no big deal. But if you're going through it, it is a big deal. Amen? It's a big deal because you're going through it. And, you know, maybe somebody could come to you and say, well, you know what? I had that same thing happen to me, and God got me through that. And that's what we do with trials and tragedy and things that happen. God doesn't send them. No way, Jose, He does not send them. He gives us victory. He gives us deliverance. But, you know, He delivers us so we can go help deliver up.
That's right. That's right.
So we can share our testimony, and we can encourage others that they can make it. And this is something that I think about a lot. If something's happening to me, you know what? It's happened to somebody else too. It really has. I'm not the only one in this deal. Are you kidding? Come on, Charlie Brown. Don't go down that road. Why is everybody always picking on me? Like I'm the only one ever had this happen. Are you kidding? It's happened to lots of people, and probably worse things have happened. And truth is, it's liable to happen again. I'm not prophesying doom, gloom, and destruction, but I just know in this life a lot of things happen. But it doesn't change the fact that God can get me out of this. I got two ways I can go with this thing. I can go down or I can go up. Amen? And if I choose the right, I'll go up. If I put God first and I choose not to fear and I lean on His strength, I will come out better. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come out better instead of bitter.
Yeah.
I'll be a victor instead of a victim. Oh, hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
And you run to God. He'll hide me. He'll keep me. I can make this. I can make it through this. You know, other people have made it through it.
Yeah.
Why not me?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
God has delivered others. He can deliver me. Often I'll remind myself of the deliverances in the Bible when something's going on. I can remember lots of times concerning healing. I'll remind God of healings that took place in the Bible. I'll say, Lord, You healed this person. You healed that person. You healed this woman with the issue of blood. You healed that man born blind. You healed that man let down through the roof in Mark 2nd chapter. You healed them. You healed that man with a withered hand. And, you know, Lord, if You healed them, You've got to heal me. You're no respecter of persons.
That's right.
I'm not convincing God. I'm convincing myself. Are you with me? He's already convinced.
Yeah.
But I'm stirring myself up with that. Listen, if anybody make it, I can make it. If anybody make it, you can make it. God's no respecter of persons. If God delivered, He'll deliver you. If He saved anybody, He can save you. Yeah. If He's healed anybody, He can heal you. Do you know anybody that's been healed? You can be healed. Hallelujah. Because God is no respecter of persons. Do you know anybody that's got out of a financial mess? Anybody that's had a miracle of God financially? Oh, I can think of lots of them. Well, why not me? Amen?
That's right.
Woo! Praise God. God will hide us in the time of trouble. He'll protect us in the secret place of His tabernacle. Do you know where that place is? Most of the world doesn't know where it is. It's a secret. See? That's why they call it a secret place. Well, how do you find out a secret? You find out who knows the secret. Isn't that right? If you know who knows the secret, you got it. You know where it is. So if you know Jesus, you know where that secret place is. That secret place, of course, is in His presence, praying, seeking His face.
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for the power of God and the presence of God. I mean, we are here by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And we're going to go through this by the grace of God in Jesus' name. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me on high upon a rock. Too high to reach. Nobody can get to me. There's no high like the Most High. He says this in the sixth verse, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. He's worthy, amen. Worthy to be praised. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. See, he's crying out. His heart's just crying out. And he just, I love the Psalms. The Psalms are very emotional from time to time, passionate. David must have been a very passionate person. David did, he wasn't perfect, he sinned. But you know, that's the thing about passion. If you're real passionate, you've got to watch yourself because you can get in sin real easy too because you're real emotional, you're real passionate. You have to guard yourself. Passions need to be controlled. They need to be directed. They need to be focused. That's what David was doing here. He says, this one thing I desire. This is what I need to do with all this. You know, I think about the animal world. There's not a, you know, a cow can either be good or bad, but he can't be real good or real bad. They're just not that gifted. But you come on up the level of intelligence, you come to a dog. Now, a dog can be a little worse and a little better, you know. You get to a human being, you got real potential in a human being to be very, very good or very, very bad. Because the greater, you know, the greater intelligence and the greater gifts you have, the more potential you have to be good or bad. I think the most gifted, talented creature ever created was Satan. He was head of the worship in heaven, and I'm sure he was wonderful in that. But that same potential, misdirected, misfocused, you know, he quit serving God and didn't put God first. Now he rebelled against God. Look at the wickedness and the evil that he brought upon the world. What about Hitler? Now think about Hitler if he'd gotten saved, if his passion had been directed toward the Lord. You know, the problem with Hitler was not his gifts and his passion and his gift of communication, so on and so forth. The problem was what he was doing with it. The untold millions that were killed, the evil and the corruption that came because what he did with it, see. And so we have to watch our passions, make sure our passion is for God.
Right.
That in all that we do, that he's first in our life. You know, all these notes on a piano, you know, they're all different kind of notes on a piano, but they're only proper in the right place. Passions and emotions are wonderful, but they have to be played at the right time. You know, the romantic sexual drive, you know, not to be crude here, is a wonderful thing within marriage. But you play that note outside of marriage and you're playing the wrong song. That's not one God wrote. Amen? And so you direct your passions. Excitement? Thank God for excitement. We're excited in this church.
Amen.
And you ought to be excited because that excitement is directed toward the Lord.
Right.
Jump and shout and holler. Oh, my goodness, that's wonderful. Let's jump, shout, and holler. Amen. For the Lord. Yeah. Amen? And so let's direct that passion. And so you see in the Psalms, David, he's passionate. He's crying out to God. And his emotions are all involved. And that's okay. That's wonderful. It's nothing wrong with crying as long as you're crying to the Lord. I mean, if you're just crying about life, then get up. Quit that. I always hated that when Brenda, I get in an argument, she start crying. I tell her, stop that. That's not fair. Stop that. You can't talk to her when she's doing that. That just ruins everything. That is abuse of power. That's what that is. Okay. Where were we? Okay, seven verse. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Well, he's crying to God. That's good. Amen. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Hallelujah. He was looking for an answer. You ought to look for an answer too. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Is that what your heart says? You ought to examine your heart and think about it. Is he first in your life? Is that the one thing you really want? When you're pulled to pray, do you just kind of ignore that or kind of mute that sound? Or do you say, you know, God, I got to do that. I got to do that. I got to start doing that. That's one thing we could say this year we're going to do. We're going to listen to God's voice more. We're going to hear his voice better. We're going to obey that voice. We're actually going to yield to it. Let's let our heart say the same thing he says. When he says, seek his face, let's let our heart say, your face I'll seek. I want my heart to say what his heart says. I want what he wants. I want to do what he wants. That song we sang earlier says, break my heart for the things that break yours. Now that's a good. I believe we can go too far in the suffering area sometimes if we get outside of the sufferings of Christ sometimes and get into the sufferings of the devil. But breaking my heart for what breaks God is very scriptural. I want my heart broken for what breaks God's heart. I think it breaks God's heart that people go to hell. I think my heart ought to break for that too.
Yes.
I think it breaks God's heart when people are angry and hateful. And I think that ought to break my heart too. I think I ought to be kinder. I think I ought to be more prayerful. I think I ought to be more passionate about people. I ought to care about people. I think it breaks God's heart when bullies and people in power just abuse people that are weak.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. I hate a bully. I don't hate the person. I just hate that attitude.
Yeah.
You know, that breaks God's heart. Those are things that we ought to pray about. I want to do what God wants me to do. Amen. And so he goes on. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to finish this. In the name of Jesus. Ninth verse, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Don't be angry with me, Lord. In other words, I'm coming with the right attitude. I really do want what you want. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now, I love that. Now, David's crying out. This is the Old Covenant, Old Testament. Do not leave me, Lord. Do not forsake me, O Lord. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that's the good. We don't even really have to pray that part of that prayer, because he will not leave us and he will not forsake us, because Jesus said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, lo, I'm with you, even unto the ends of the earth. So in that mess you're in that problem you're facing, he's there, okay? He's there. Just call on him. We've got a better covenant than even David had. And I understand his passion and his cry, but hey, praise God, God answered that prayer, praise the Lord, with Jesus. And so he says this, do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now listen to this. Oh, man, this is so good. Have you ever been rejected in life?
Yeah.
Maybe by friend. God forbid, maybe by family. I know in a group like this, there's going to be people here who have got good families, got good parents, and got good relationships. And then there's going to be people that don't have good families, that maybe had abusive families. You know, abusive father, abusive mother, or whatever the case may be. Or husbands, or wives. I mean, come on, let's get real. I mean, we're in a world here, there's a lot of these things go on. I mean, we've been rejected, and I'm not saying let's play the victim. In fact, I want to get you out of being a victim. I don't want to play the victim. I want to get out of that victimhood. But I also know I get hit and I get hurt in life. Now, I can either heal up or I can just let that thing fester. You know, I heard this story one time as a minister. He said he was visiting pastor's family. He was preaching there, and the little boy had come up and told him about this little wound he'd gotten. He got cut on his leg. And he said, oh, man. He said, let me show you my cut here. I got cut. And he takes the Band-Aid, and he just pulls that Band-Aid off. And, of course, everything on there that he'll help just got pulled off. And being a nice little kid, he's proud of it. These are battle scars, you know. But the problem with that is you keep pulling it like that, it's never going to heal. Oh, let me tell you what I've been through. Well, it's okay to confess to one another, to pray one another, but at some point we've got to get over that. At some point we've got to let that thing heal. We've got to let it heal. We've got to go on. We've got to go on with this thing. You know, hey, we've all got sob stories. We all got skeletons in our closet. We've all had things happen to us. Maybe something's happened to you right now. I'm not belittling that. I know it hurts. But you know what? There's hope, praise God. You can come out of that mess. You can heal up. You can get out of... Listen, if you've had a bad marriage, you know, there's a good marriage waiting on you. There really is. If you had bad experiences in your life, you don't. That's not your destiny. Get over that. Pray about that thing. Soak that in prayer. One thing you need to do, that's get in God's presence. Call on Him. Amen. Ask Him to help you, and He will help you. Listen, there's a lot of people in here right now that if you just heard their story, and I'm not going to go over the stories, and you heard my story in great detail. You never heard my story in great detail. I'll never tell it. Everything's not for public consumption. But if you just knew who God takes and who He uses, and who God heals and who God puts back up on our feet, you'd be encouraged you could make it. I think of the kind of people God uses. He always chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And I qualify when He picked me out. I thought, goodness, when He called me to teach, I never will forget telling God. I was embarrassed telling anybody God called me to teach because of my background and the way I had been living and everything. And I didn't have any money. I didn't have any education. And I'd come out of drugs and jails and those kinds of things. And when God called me to teach, I argued with Him about it. Y'all have heard the story. And I remember going home that night to an apartment. Brenna and I were living in Houston. And Brenna went to bed. And we went to bed. She fell asleep in 5 minutes like she always does. And I'm there. You know, it takes me about an hour to go to sleep. She goes to sleep about 5 minutes. So I snuck out of bed and went in the living room. And I remember telling God, I said, God, I don't know what in the world you think you're doing calling me to teach. I've been saved a year. I was glad to be saved, and I was a very strong witness. I loved talking about Jesus. I had no intention of being a teacher or a preacher. That's just I didn't want to be that. I wasn't against preachers and teachers. I love preachers and teachers. I just, you know. But when God did get a hold of me, and I knew that's what He was going to do, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I was more shocked than anybody. Now, you're not so shocked now because you see the end result, but I mean, if you'd known... No. You know, and if I'd have told you, hey, God called me to teach, you'd go, boy, we need to pray for that boy. Over the edge. He lost it. You know, because knowing who I was. But see, God saw what I could be. God saw what He could do in me. He didn't see all that junk. He saw what He could do in me. And I don't know, I wrote this down the other day. I was going to use this in another sermon I didn't get to preach. It's kind of like a Statue of Liberty. You know what it says on the Statue of Liberty? It says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. See, God's wanting it would go something like this. Imperfect people needed. Those who have sinned, who have failed, who have made mistakes in life, the distraught, the depressed, the sick, the down and out, perfect people need not apply. God takes us and He makes something out of us. It's a wonderful thing to see what God can do. And if you're tired of just doing it yourself, let God do something in your life. There's just one thing you need to do. All the millions of things you can think of, there's just really one thing you need to do. You need to get in the presence of God. Let God do something with you. He can do it. He'd love to do it. He can't wait to do it. Notice this verse here, Psalms 27:11. Hallelujah. Excuse me, the 10th verse. When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord will take care of me. So if you had a bad family life, you know what? God can take care of you. If you hadn't had any breaks in life, listen, you got one now. You got the biggest break you could ever get. Jesus Christ wants to change your life.
Amen.
He wants to make you the best you could ever be. He wants to take you and make a blessing out of you. He wants you to help and reach others, make a difference. It's about making a difference. Amen?
Amen.
And he says this in the 11th verse, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." Well, if you'll listen to God, he will smooth it out for you. But you're going to have to listen to him and go his way. There's all kind of ways you can go, but God's way is the best way.
Amen.
I don't care what you're facing. God's going to work that way. You know, Glenn and I were talking about the other day, just talking about business and different things, and just made a statement. You know, whatever happens, God's going to bless me. We're going to work. He's going to make out the way. He's going to make some way. He's going to do it. That's the attitude we have to have. Whatever the case may be, I don't care what it is, whether it's business or marriage or, you know, God's going to make a way. I don't know how. I can't figure all this out. But I just got one thing I need to do, and that's just keep trusting him, get in his presence, dwell in his house. Amen. You don't have to do 100 things. You just got one thing to do. Isn't that good? See, I got a one-point message. I know you go in some of those churches, some of them fancy churches, they got 7 points, and then, you know, they got 5 things I want to say about the first point. I never was much of a point preacher. I always had 1 point, but at least I had a point. And so, it's just one thing we need to do, amen? And that's get in his presence. He says this 11th verse, I'll bring us to close. Let me read through here without commenting.
Okay.
You don't sound like you got a lot of faith in me on that point, but that's okay. Listen, it's all right. I still love you. And although you reject me, the Lord stands with me. So, okay. No. Teach me your way, O Lord. Goodness. Lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Amen.
I did it, didn't I?
Well,
you didn't think I could do that. Well, wait on God. Amen? Hallelujah. If you will, it'll work out. Praise God. You got one thing you need to do this year. You want to make a big resolution? One thing. That's to dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen? Put him first in your life. Hallelujah.